We're doing an Advent series, and it's called Characters Around the Cradle. And today we're going to look at two men, Zechariah, the dad of John the Baptist, and Joseph, the stepdad of Jesus, because God was his father. Okay, now, there's a lot we could say about these two men. You know, we could talk about the coming of Jesus, which we are going to touch on, because Advent is remembering the coming of Jesus. But in these stories, there's lots of things we could talk about, such as dealing with doubt. You know, Zechariah, he didn't believe what the angel told him. Or trusting God's timing, or trust and obedience, or persevering in prayer. But I'm not going to focus on that. I am going to mention Jesus, of course, but I want to focus particularly on two things, and this is the first one. I want to look at Zechariah and Joseph's reactions to sudden, unexpected change. Because sometimes life makes you sit up straight, doesn't it? I mean, I lost my dad recently, and I also know another family that's had a big tragedy hit them. Sometimes life comes around unexpectedly, things suddenly change. Now, it could be small things like an inconvenience. Like this morning, I was trying to prepare this talk, and my youngest daughter came to me and said, "Dad, can you go to Co-op and buy some Cheerios, please? I'm hungry." That's just an inconvenience. But sometimes there could be bigger things in life, like an upset plan. You have a plan, what you want to do, and it gets broken. Or a disruption. Look in that picture there. That Red Arrow pilot lost his job. Or upheaval in your life. An upheaval. So basically, I'm talking about when life takes an unexpected turn, which it does sometimes. Quickly, a bit of info about Zechariah, because we're going to start with him. He was from a priestly family. There was a group of them, about 800 priests. So there was a large group. And then his wife, Elizabeth, she was also from a priestly family, the Aaron's family. And Zechariah had a pretty cushy job, actually, because he worked in that place. That's the Temple of Herod. This was really posh. It was really comfortable. If you want a comfy job, better than working in a prison like Phil did. He worked in Herod's temple. It was one of the most magnificent temples. It was better than the temple they made after the exile. It was even possibly better than Solomon's temple. It was bigger. And he had this pretty comfortable job. He was a priest. He would go up there at least three times a year to help with the festivals. And if he was lucky, I shouldn't use that word, should I? But if he was lucky, because they used to cast lots, if he won the lottery for the priest, he would get called upon to go up and do a very special burning of incense. Okay? That was almost like the top duty. But some priests never got there because there were so many of them, they never got the chance. But Zechariah did get chosen. This is what it says. It says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were very old." So, although he had a cushy job, he carried sorrow in his heart for many years. They were unable to have children. Now, I know that's a sensitive topic, and I recognize that. But in that culture back then, it was almost 10 times worse than it is today, in the sense that the people would look at you and give you funny looks. Particularly if you were a priest. If you were in the priestly family, you know, you were righteous, you were behaving yourself, and yet you couldn't have children. It was looked upon terribly, really. Very unfair. Now, But then something happened. And I want to look at the bad way Zechariah reacted to change. Something happened. He got called upon. He won the priest lottery. He was called upon to go up to the temple. I'm going to do the burnt offering, the incense. This is really rare. It might only happen once in my life. And he's up there, and this is what happens. He's putting the incense on the altar. And it says this. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Great. But this is where the change happens. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." I love that when angels say that. I mean, you'd be terrified. Do not be afraid. And that's what God says to you today if you're facing a big problem. Do not be afraid. But he said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You are to call him John." And the angel goes on to say that this John is not just any old boy. He's going to be a great man. He's going to be someone who is a Nazarite, like Samson. Never going to touch drink. He's going to be someone a bit like Elijah, who's going to turn the people of Israel back to God and get them ready for Jesus. He's going to be like the messenger in Malachi, where at the end of the Old Testament it says, the Malachi, this messenger will come to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and people back to God. Prepare a people ready for the coming of the Lord. So it's a great, great answer to their prayer for a son. But Zechariah says this. "How can I be sure?" Sorry, forget that in my notes. "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years." Now, that could just be unbelief. It could just be unbelief only. But I wonder if there was a bit more to it. I wonder if this was also going through his mind. "But I'm now settled in my comfortable ways." I wonder if, I can't prove this, but just bear with me. I wonder if Zechariah thought, "Yeah, I prayed that prayer years ago. I prayed for years that we'd have a kid, but I'm kind of past that now. I'm old, I'm settled, I'm comfortable. I've got a cushy job at the temple. I just want to see my days out in a bit of comfort and routine. I want to keep my head below the parapet. I don't want all this upheaval, not at this point. How can it be?" I think it may have just been, "I don't believe you," but I think there was an element of, really? Now, I mean, imagine if the Lord came to one of you when you get to 75 and says, "Right, go to Africa." You think, really? At this late stage, it was an upheaval. It was a sudden, unexpected turn of life. Really? And sometimes God does upset our comforts. We get settled in our ways. We get long in the tooth. We get used to the comforts of routine. And God did this with Zechariah. And I think one of the reasons the angel was quite severe on him was unbelief, but also, "You just can't be bothered now, Lord. I used to pray that prayer for a kid when I was young, when I was radical, but now I'm different. I've matured. I'm grown up now. We're past that stage, thank you very much." And it almost felt like Zechariah didn't want John the Baptist to be born. He was an unwanted child. What if God is calling you out of your comfort zone? It's very easy to get comfortable. I'm going to read you an extract very briefly. It's only bits of it, of a poem from a book that Tony gave me. Now, Tony, who's out the back with the teenagers at the moment, he gave me this book called Prayers of Life. And Tony said there's a poem in there that's so scary that he can't properly read it. He has to read it and then put it on the shelf. It's way too challenging. And I'm going to read some of it to you. is called Lord, why did you tell me to love? You know, people, why did you tell me to love? I'll just read bits of it. Lord, why did you tell me to love people? I was so peaceful at home. I was so comfortably settled. I felt cozy. I was alone. I was at peace, sheltered from the wind, the rain and the mud. But Lord, you have forced me to open my door. Outside, people were lying in wait for me. I did not know they were so near, in that house over there, in this street, in this office, my neighbour, my colleague, my friend. As soon as I started to open the door, I saw them. The first ones came in to my home. There was, after all, some space in my heart. I welcomed them. But then, straight behind them, there were others. Other people who I had not seen. They were hidden behind the first ones. There were more of them. They overpowered me without warning. We had to crowd in. I had to find room for them. Now they are coming in from all over, in successive waves, pushing one another, jostling one another. They have come from all over town. They don't come alone any longer, but in groups. They come bending under heavy loads. They drag the world behind them. Lord, they're hurting me. They're everywhere. As they come into my house, they push the door. The door opens wider. Lord, my door is wide open. I can't stand it anymore. It's too much. This is no kind of life. What about my job? What about my family? What about my peace? What about my liberty? What about me? I don't belong to myself any longer. There's no room at home for me anymore. Don't worry, God said. You have gained all. While people came in to you, I, your Father, I, your God, slipped in among them. Sometimes when God calls you to love people, it will stretch you. And I think Zechariah was at a point where, A, he didn't believe what the angel said because it had been so long, he'd been praying it and had given up. He'd forgotten he'd been praying it, I think, by then. But B, he didn't want his comfort upset. Not by this disturbance that John the Baptist would bring their family. Anyway. And then this is what happened. The angel said to him, I almost feel the angel going, "Oi, oi, I'm Gabriel. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Why did the angel shut him up? Why? Seems a bit harsh. I don't know the reason, but maybe, just maybe, I have this little theory. Was Zechariah a very talkative man? Have you ever met people that all they want to do is talk? And you're trying to have a conversation with them and they take the conversation back to where they want it to go. Doesn't matter where you're trying to go. It always goes, but I've met people like this. None of you lot. But I've met people and they take the conversation back and back. And maybe Zechariah was a man who had to always have something to say. He always wanted to have the last word. He was a bit of a back chatter to the angel. He said, "But how can this be? Blah, 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 blah." So the angel said, "Right, you need to learn to be quiet and listen." And he shut him up. I find that challenging. You know, sometimes God upsets our life. And we fire off all these missiles at him and say, "Lord, what about this? Why about this?" And God just says, "Shh, listen and trust me. Your head's too full of noise. Listen and trust me and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." The Bible says, doesn't it, in James 1:19, says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak." You know, when things go wrong in your life and everything goes pear-shaped, Be slow to speak back to God. But why, God? Why are you doing anything? First, listen. I know it's hard. The Bible says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. So I think Zechariah had to learn. Now, quickly, I know I don't want to go on too long, but Joseph. Now, Joseph, I think, had a good reaction. He was a good reaction to unexpected change. First of all, if you know the story, when he discovered Mary was pregnant, he didn't drag her publicly into the town square and get her on trial. He decided to divorce her quietly. Now, in those days, a betrothal was a very big thing. If you were betrothed, it was almost like being married, and you actually had to get a divorce to break up the betrothal, even though you weren't actually yet married. It was a big thing. And it was meant to go all public. She could even be stoned for being unfaithful. But you see, what Joseph does, he says, I'm going to make the best thing out of this bad circumstance. I'm not going to react in the flesh and cause havoc. I'm going to be loving and caring in my response, and I'm going to make the best out of a bad situation. He was a wonderfully compassionate man, Joseph. And I think that's an example. When things go wrong in our lives, take the loving approach rather than just react. He was a man of faith. You know, when the angel spoke to him, he said, right, God, I'm going to obey you. But you see, he knew that other people hadn't heard an angel. So other people in the village would look at Mary with her growing tummy and think, she's been sleeping around. Joseph, what are you doing with her? She's a cheat. Can't you see the bun in the oven? What kind of bloke are you? And he would have got all this stick. But he said, no, I am a man of faith. I am going to go with the word of God. God has said, take Mary home to be my wife. I am going to trust the Lord. I mean, wow. He wasn't afraid to trust God, even though he knew it might lead to some flack. And he was obedient, really quick. You know, when God spoke to him, Joseph, he wasn't like Zechariah, who said, well, what about blah, 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 blah. He just said, in fact, it says that Joseph said nothing. You know, there's not a word recorded of Joseph even speaking. I mean, he obviously did talk, but it's not in the Bible. He just quietly obeyed, and he was very prompt. As soon as the angel said to him, quick, take Jesus into Egypt, because they're going to try to kill him, he quickly obeyed. He didn't go, really, Lord, Egypt? Oh, that's a long way. Oh, can I put a fleece out and just check that I've got the guidance right here? He just obeyed promptly. Amazing Joseph. He was willing to be inconvenienced. You know, did you know going to Egypt is a long way? I mean, I don't know, was it 90 miles or even more? It was a long way. He was willing to be inconvenienced when God upset his plans. I've already said he was a listener. He was slow to speak. He didn't speak. He just obeyed. He was humble. It was a big thing, you know, for a Jewish man not to name your baby or to name a child. In the Jewish culture, the father was meant to give the name. But he had been told by God to name the child Jesus. And he was very humble. He just did what he was told. And he had self-control. Because it says in the account that he waited until Jesus was born before he had union with his wife. You know, before he enjoyed the physical intimacy of marriage, he waited until Jesus was born. So we got Joseph there. He's one of my heroes, Joseph. He doesn't say much. He listens. He obeys. He's humble, self-controlled, loving, a man of faith. And that's how we're meant to be. When things go wrong in our lives, we're meant to be like Joseph and not like Zechariah, I think. I just want to say this, that God often uses the pressure of change, sudden, unexpected change, to grow us most in the faith. I believe that we don't tend to grow that much when everything's hunky-dory and easy. We grow when things are hard. And it's not easy, but we need to learn to respond like Joseph did. And we will grow. Right, my second and last point, really, I've basically said, the first point I've said today, if you've lost track, is this. Look at how Joseph reacted to unexpected change. Big thing. The second thing is I want to say, Zechariah and Joseph are also reminders of the types of people God needs today. God doesn't just need preachers or pastors or apostles or even missionaries. Well, there's a couple of great ones over there. God doesn't just need people up the front doing stuff. God needs people like Zechariah and Joseph. And let me explain what I mean. Zechariah had to learn to give way to the next generation, to the younger generation. He had to learn to get behind John the Baptist, the new boy. He could have said, well, I'm a priest, you know, I'm part of the temple, you know, I'm important. But no, it's a change. He had to learn to give John the Baptist a vote of confidence. In fact, he got so full of the Holy Spirit, Zechariah, that he sang a song later, singing about John the Baptist and how he would prepare the way for the Lord and singing about Jesus. And this man, who could have basically said, look, I'm the priest. This kid, I don't really want him anymore. He gave himself over to encouraging and backing and giving space and a vote of confidence to the upcoming generation, the John. And I just think that's encouragement for us, that we, as we get older, and I'm getting older, like most of us, I don't know if any of you are blessed enough to go backwards, but I'm getting older. We have to learn that when younger people come in, we give them space. That's why I love it when we do the seeker-led services here. We have the youth up the front. I mean, they're at the back at the moment, but it's just so good to involve people and not just stick to our preferences. You know, it's very easy to stick to our preferences of how we worship and how we like it. Whereas the younger people might want to do it slightly differently. I mean, Zechariah could have said to John the Baptist, hey, mate, why don't you go to the temple? Look, I'm a priest. I never see you at the temple. John the Baptist is out in the wilderness preaching by a river. It's very different. Zechariah gave up his preferences and went with what God was doing. And then Joseph. Joseph wasn't a front showman. He wasn't up the front. But his role was to protect and care for and be a guardian and look after others. So he looked after Jesus. He looked after Mary. And that was his role. His role was simply to look after Mary and Jesus. So that one day Jesus would have a ministry. And if Joseph hadn't looked after Jesus and Mary, there wouldn't have been a Jesus. There wouldn't have been a ministry. Can you see how critical Joseph's role was to look after and take care so that someone who had a ministry could have it? And sometimes our role at times in life is to just be there to come alongside, to encourage, like in those pictures, to protect, to guide, to be like a parent to others, to help them in their ministry. It's not about us. It's about helping and enabling others. And we are there to protect others. Like you see that picture of the guy with the arrows. Our prayers can protect people. We pray for them. Joseph, he was amazing. He's one of my heroes. I just want to finish by telling you about a friend of mine who was a bit like Joseph. he didn't preach. He didn't lead a church. He wasn't an elder. And he felt he didn't have that many gifts. So he went for a walk one day, and he was walking along and he was praying, and he said, "Lord, I'm not a preacher, I'm not an elder, I'm not a pastor, what can I do?" And he felt a kind of whisper from the Lord saying, "Encourage others. Just be a Joseph to them. Come alongside, protect them, help them." And my friend, his name was George Santa. Phil and Judy know who he is. He just gave his whole life to writing letters. He wrote, I mean, I know it's a bit of a dying art these days, but he wrote letters to people, and that's all he did. But he would visit them too. But he just wrote letters of encouragement. I've still got them. And I would go around the country sometimes. I'd be invited up to Birmingham, or I'd go off to somewhere down in Devon, and I'd go into somebody's house, and lo and behold, there on the mantelpiece would be a letter from George Santa. He wrote to tons of people, and that was all he did. Now, you might say, well, that's not much. Well, at his funeral, there were loads of people there because it was such a blessing. So I'm going to finish with this slide. As we think about Zechariah and Joseph, whatever our role is, you know, whether it's a front role or a rear role or a background role, whatever it is, let's live it out fully so we can help point people to Jesus, the Savior who came at Advent. All we got to do really today, all God says, is just offer your life up to me without conditions. You'll be amazed what the Lord could do.